It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Older Apple Watch models become vintage and obsolete. Comparing Double Tap to Quick Actions, next year's Apple Watch may not be as innovative as once thought, and Apple can now update the iPhone when it's still in the box. Plus reviews of Double Tap Gesture, Air Card, and the Apple Watch Ultra. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 452, recorded Sunday, October 15th, 2023. The Ultra Podcast.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. I've tested positive for the Ultra.
Yeah. Yes, you have. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yes. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, hopefully I'm not testing positive for anything, but
So Vincent, just to let people know, you were not with us last show because you had a little bout of COVID there.
Yeah, it's going around, folks. Yeah, just mask up and make sure you're okay. But yeah, my daughter brought it home from school, and you know, you can't avoid those things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's not scientific, okay, but I'm going to throw it out there. You had COVID, now you have a new Ultra Watch and you don't have COVID. So does that mean
there you go.
If you get an Ultra Watch, you can't get COVID? Or
A number of measurements with it. It was very interesting.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. So, okay, can we officially call this the Ultra Podcast?
I guess you'll have to now.
Yeah, we all have Ultras for the first time.
It might be the first time. Years. Might be the first time we all have the same watch, actually.
It actually might be, for sure, at least from near the first show, right? Even then, we had different versions of the watch, right? Either stainless steel or, you know, aluminum or whatever. There's all sorts of different versions throughout the years. Oh, that's funny. So, okay, I have another question for you. Did you both complete your Ring of Fire yesterday with the eclipse?
We got a partial one here in Houston, right? But we checked it out.
Yeah, I don't know if it was full or partial here. We did the whole thing with a piece of paper, right? Do a pinhole, and I could only see it never was a complete circle, and I thought it was just the time of day, but maybe it never did.
Yeah, we're just right off the edge. We're about 85%.
Okay. But some people were posting some pretty interesting reflection or shadows of like leaves and stuff on the ground that were like mirrored. I mean, just this weird looking shadows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a crescent.
Very bizarre. Were you able to see that, Chris, in Tennessee?
Well, I was in West Lafayette, Indiana yesterday for a college event. I did not see it, but I don't think we had anything here because it would have been on the news. And I think, you know, those things are kind of regionalized. We had ours in 2000, 18 or 17. I can't remember that big one that came through Tennessee. So that's a long way to say no, I didn't.
Okay. So we all have the Ultra watch. Are either of you running the public betas still?
No.
I think so. I think I'm still on it.
You're still in the public beta, Vincent? Okay. So I went from running the public betas on the watch and the phone to, you know, all the way to the final releases a while back. And then a few days ago, I switched back to the public beta on the watch, which is currently 10.1. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably going to be out soon. In fact, we have a story we'll talk about here in the news in a minute about that. Mm-hmm. The reason I did it specifically was to try out the double tap feature because that is now or will be a part of 10.1 when it's released. Mm-hmm. But since it's in beta right now, you can try it out and do all that sort of stuff. And I was going to use it as my what I like this week, but I really haven't had enough time to kind of fully vet it, you know, how useful it is. But I had one particular use for it in mind, and I'm sad to say it's not quite there yet for that purpose. What I wanted most was the ability to skip songs in my playlist while running. I thought, how cool would that be to just double tap your finger to your, you know, thumb and change a song while you're running? How futuristic would that be, right? Well, it doesn't quite work like that. So, I mean, first I want to say it does other things that are great, right? I mean, I was cooking. I set a timer with Shlomo. I won't say the name. And I was able to simply double tap to view the time left on the timer, right? So I have it as one of the cards in my stack. What do you call that now when you turn the crown? It's a
smart stack.
Yeah, I had that's what it is. I had it set, the timer is one of the ones in my smart stack, so if I just double tap my finger, I can see the time left on the timer, which is really cool, right? And then when the timer, and it's dynamic, by the way, which I don't know if all the cards are, but you can actually see the timer going in the smart stack. You don't have to tap on it and open the timer app to see it. So that's very handy. And then when the timer goes off, you double tap, turn it off. I mean, it's really great. I love that. You can answer a phone call with a double tap, hang up with a double tap. Again, a great feature. And by the way, when you double tap, you get this little icon of a hand, like in a gesture, in a blue circle at the top of the watch to show the gesture it's been recognized. You can also, I think I discovered you could use it to scroll through the flashlight modes, right? So you flashlight, and then you have the blinking one, and then you have the red one or whatever. You can do that. You can answer a text. If you get a text message, you can answer it with the double tap, and it'll actually reply with a double tap and open up your voice to text feature. You can speak your reply, double tap to send it. So you can actually answer a message without touching the watch, which is really
That's
cool.
That's neat.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The quick action gives you a little verbal box, I think, versus the icon for the double tap, which is nice because the icon looks nice, although it looks a little like the Twitter icon if you look at
it. It's a little weird. Anyway, so you have two choices when it comes to music playback, which is what I really wanted to do, which is you can either pause/play the music, pretty obvious, or you can skip, which is what I wanted. And I don't know, maybe it's just me when I'm running. I know I have my own playlist selected, but depending on the mood I'm in, I'll jump through those songs quicker. You know, like, no, that's not what I want right now.
Oh, certainly.
Like,
yeah. Do that same
thing. So the good news is during a workout, like running or whatever you're doing, you can use the double tap. The bad news is that it has to be on the music app to control it. And the workout app likes to take over and always be in front, right? No matter what you do, it always jumps back to the front. So no big deal. You can open up the music app separately on your watch, set it to be left on, right? You can do that. Except double tap doesn't work when you run. The motion screws it up. If I stop running and I'm just walking, it works perfectly. As soon as I start running, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Big disappointment there. I don't know. Is it the motion?
It's using a whole bunch of those sensors to determine what you're doing there.
Yeah. And also, it has to be raised to wake. So you have to be looking at the screen before you can double tap, which, you know, I was hoping I could just, you know, double tap it as I ran without having to raise my wrist either. But no, it has to be awake to work. But then I discovered that's not always the case. All right. So when you take a photo from the watch, like you're using the camera app. That now works with double tap. Very cool. Right. Set up your phone. Everybody gets in the picture. You tap record, the countdown photos taken. Right. Now you can double tap. And they've actually made it easy. They actually thought this one through. Okay. You don't have to raise to wake. You can keep your wrist hands down at your side, double tap, and it'll take the picture. So I know that feature can work for music if they wanted it to. They just haven't set it that way. So anyway, I'm still working with it, and maybe I'll find a workaround for that particular use, but the rest of it's great. It's kind of magical, actually, when you use it. And by the way, obviously, it does not work in water mode either. I think they might, that can probably be changed in the future, because I would think that's when you would really want to, right? I'm not touching the screen. I can't touch the screen because it's in water mode, but I could activate something. Anyway.
Interesting. Do you have a specific band you have to wear with it, and or?
No.
Okay. So any band?
Any band.
Snug. Okay.
Doesn't matter.
And then do you have assistive touch turned off? Or correct. Can you turn it on at the same time?
No, I do not have it turned on. And actually, we have a another story in our news that we'll get to in a second. That was a good story, by the way.
Yeah,
it really explains the differences, because it is a little confusing. I know what I was going to say. Also, when you try to use it on something that it can't do, right? Like dismiss a notification, it won't let you do that. It shows that little hand symbol, little blue circle,
and it gives you the finger.
It shakes back and forth. No, but that's funny. That's the gesture I was expecting. But it just shakes back and forth like, no, can't do this, right? It's like scolding you.
It's telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't do it.
But I did half expect a different hand gesture there. one more funny thing. If you tap on the battery icon, you can see how much battery you have left, right? Mm-hmm. And you have the option of going into low power mode. If you double tap, it goes to the option of turning on the low power mode. Very handy. But if you double tap again to enter low power mode, guess what? Double tap doesn't work in low power mode. So now you're stuck. You have to touch the watch to get out of it. So it's kind of like a little trap there. you want low
power
mode?
Good.
Yes. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you can't use it anymore.
You would think that'd be the first thing they would make sure was in low power mode is that.
Well, but the fact that you can't undo it by double tapping, it's kind of funny. You get stuck in that mode. Anyway, so this is the beta. It may change before the real release, but probably not too much. Mm. And the fact that turning this on, which I think is on by default, it's in a menu item called Gestures, makes me hopeful that we'll get more gestures and more features down the road. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess I just did a review of it, even though I wasn't kind of going to.
Yeah.
But and I have something else for what I like this week. I'll get to. But anyway, I just wanted to update you guys on that, because I was so excited to try this out and I'm kind of bummed.
Like you're saying, it only works with the new chip. That's not
correct. And we'll talk about the differences in what you can do with the older chip. And the reason why Apple did that is interesting, but yeah, you're right. So do you want a refund on your watch there, Vincent? Cause you don't have a double tap on it.
It's quite all right.
Okay. Cause you are using my old watch there.
That's right. We're going to see the longevity tester.
There you go. That's funny. All right. Anything else on double tap before we dive in here? Got some news? Nope. Okay. Let's see. First up, number of people are complaining that the Apple Watch Ultra display is now too dim in low light. Okay. So as we know, they say that when they're unable to read information on the Apple Watch Ultra display in dark environments because the screen is too dim, suggesting that the ambient light sensor has not been properly calibrated to increase brightness to an adequate level. So the new Apple Watch Ultra 2 goes up to 3,000 nits, and it also is capable of going as low as 1 nit. Now, they're blaming this new hardware specification as to why this is happening, but some of the first generation Apple Watch Ultra, like yours, Vincent, are also reporting this issue, which makes it sound like it might be a software issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying that particularly when you go quickly from a bright room to a dark area, And when the Wayfinder and the ultra modular watch face is set to night mode, it puts up that red filter on the display. Mm-hmm. They're saying legibility issues persist despite manual adjustments to the brightness level in watch settings. Cause that's the first thing I was going to say was turn up your brightness. Both the Ultra and the Ultra 2 say the problem is evident on models since they updated to 10.0.1 and the latest 10.0.2 update. So Apple, go ahead.
I mean, isn't it a factor of how fast your eyes adjust?
That's what I was thinking. Like, actually,
seriously,
did they not know how eyes work? Vision, it needs time to adjust. Your eyes need time to adjust, not the watch. In fact, the watch is probably doing it much faster than your eyes.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, you need some time to adjust.
I found night mode. I found it hard to see. I did. And I thought it was more my eyes and my age maybe than anything else until I saw this article. But it was just the red and the black and the dark. It just didn't work for me at all. So,
But I
didn't connect it to a software problem. I thought it connected to a brain problem.
A different software type.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, Apple is apparently aware of this, and there'll be a future software update. So I have not noticed it myself. But then again, I was running the beta, you know, back in the summer, earlier this year. I've been in that mode for a while now. Maybe I'm just used to it, you know. And it used to be you had to turn the crown, and it only worked on the one watch face, the Wayfinder watch face. You had to turn the crown to enter night mode. Well, now it's you can set it to automatically change.
Correct.
And that's what people are having an issue with. And it now also works with the new modular Ultra.
Do you set it
Ultra
on,
Ultra modular face. Yeah, I have it set. And it's funny. I'll walk from room to room or whatever, and I'll notice it's red for a second. It's like, it is a little darker in here.
Yeah.
But never to the point of where I couldn't read what was on the screen. You know, kind of not really related to this. The thing I have a problem reading on the Apple Watch lately is when you, in the morning, when you wake up and you have that wake up screen. Have you seen that?
No.
You haven't. Okay. If you set, if you set a sleep time, right? And you have a time for wake up, right? When the watch wakes up, it says like good morning, and it's got a little thing for the temperature and the time and the whatever, and it's this bright, like sunny blue image that I can't read any of the text. I can't see what the temperature is. I can't see what the time is. I can barely read that you're telling me good morning because it's too bright. The image, I'm saying, if they made the image, the blue, not so bright, you might be able to read it, especially first thing in the morning. But anyway.
I've run into that. I mean, what I liked last show was all the new apps on the new Watch OS, but I found myself somewhat doing the same thing on the weather app, on the temperature dial.
Yeah.
I can't see the temperatures within the color scheme sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
it's
a good
not predominant
point.
Enough for me. Yeah. Just like, it's, what is it?
Yeah. A good point. In fact, when you choose the weather app, like right now it's sunny, I get a bright blue screen with a blue bright sun up in the upper corner. That's kind of what the wake up screen is, but even like brighter, you know? I mean,
okay. Yeah.
It's a bad, I'm just saying they chose a bad image for legibility, especially for first thing in the morning. Come on. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on this to see what happens with the with this low light mode. Hopefully that'll just be forgotten because an update will fix it. Now, by the way, you can turn off that night mode thing if it drives you nuts.
Right.
Turn it off.
Yeah, I have mine off.
In settings. Yeah, you can turn it off. So you don't have to mess with it.
Do you have yours on, Vincent?
I do. And I've always been curious as to why some, like Tom was saying, randomly turns on. And I assume that the sensor is at the top of the watch somehow, and I've got it covered. It'll switch over to, I guess, fighter pilot mode or whatever that is. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see what else is going on here. Oh, a couple of updates here. The original Apple Watch is now obsolete. The OG, right? The first one, released in 2015, has been added to Apple's obsolete products list on September 30th. They did that. So as a result, the Series Zero watches are no longer eligible for repairs or other service at Apple stores or authorized service provider locations. And in honor of this, I have removed from a drawer my Series Zero stainless steel Apple Watch that has not been turned on in years. I can't remember the last time I did this. I put it on the charger when we started the show, and it has woken up.
There it is.
It is alive. Let's see if my I have the same. This is really bad. I have the same code to unlock it here that I'm using. Oh, and it works. It works.
That's not bad.
There it is. It's, oh my goodness. It still works. Sure. I got a list of all the apps. This is great. It's working great.
There you go.
Wow. I am just amazed. I can change. Oh, wow. I can see what my, look at that. I can see what my old watch faces were. Back in the day. This is cool. Well, there's Mickey Mouse. Okay. Oh, this is neat. Wow. It works. Yay. Too bad it's obsolete now.
It's obsolete.
It's completely obsolete, but it works.
Don't break it.
No, I won't break it. So the list of obsolete models also includes, as we remember, the Apple Watch Edition. Mm-hmm. Which was the 18 karat gold one, which with all the high end band and everything could go up to like 17 grand when it came out. It was discontinued in 2016. It was replaced with the ceramic Apple Watch edition. And on the software side of things, I can only run watchOS 5 when it was dropped. Or does that mean I can only run 4 on this?
Wow.
I don't know which.
Yeah, 4, up to 4. Yeah, I
guess. Up to 4. Yeah. Let's see here. I've got, I guess I could go to about this watch and settings, right? And tell me what
I think
I'm
it'll doing. Tell you. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
let's see here. There's settings. okay. I get a little spinning dial here waiting to open settings. Oh, this is crazy. It just now opened. That took forever. Mm-hmm. Time. General, there we go. About loading version 4.3.2.
Bingo.
Bingo, running 4. Okay, nice.
Well, at least you know you got the most up-to-date software on the oldest watch.
That's right. And also, I guess all the aluminum and stainless steel versions of the original watch, like mine, the stainless steel, including the Hermes variants, as they call it. I like that. Hermes variants are also classified as obsolete. What variant are you running? okay, here's the classification, because I wondered what this was. Apple classifies a product as technologically obsolete once more than 7 years have passed since they stopped distributing it for sale, not from when it was created, but from when they stopped selling it. And the original was discontinued in September of 2016.
Yeah, it's like a year, right after.
Yeah. So that's
hey,
it.
Hey, you know what? If I'm doing my part for the environment. If anybody needs to recycle a gold Apple Watch, send it my way. I'll take care of it.
will you pay him the current value and weight for gold? Is that how you?
It's just recycling.
Okay. It's right there. It's instead of Liam taking apart, it's going to be Vincent.
Yeah, there you go.
You have a new robot called Vincent that will gladly take your old Apple Watch gold.
The old ones.
Yes. God, you know, they never released numbers. I wonder how many of those they actually sold. Not give away to celebrities, but actually sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's gonna be one in a mint inbox that pops up somewhere.
Can you imagine that would go for?
I think I remember a story, and of course this was years ago, so maybe my mind is a little warped. But didn't we have some guy in China or something bought like 3 or 4 of them?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for his dog.
I was just about to say for his dog. I was like, okay, so I'm not crazy. We did do a storyline.
No, we all did right. that. That's, yes, he did. So yes, I guess he was at least one customer.
Right.
And you remember, Vincent, we got to see and try on this watch when it first came out at one of the Apple stores here in Houston. They took us to some back room in their conference room area with an armed guard standing next to us while we tried it on and played with the watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny because when you think, I guess because it's so portable, it'd be easy to steal, but there were computers there that cost more than this watch, and they didn't have armed guards standing next to you the whole time while you looked at
right.
Yeah, just... anyway, kind of funny. Okay, speaking of discontinuing, alongside of that, now the Apple Watch Series 1 is now considered vintage on Apple's website. So that was introduced alongside the Apple Watch Series 2 in September 2016. And this is why we have this weird numbering system, right? It's because this was kind of done at the same time as 2, which I remember at the time we said, well, what does that make the first one, 0? Which, yeah, it did.
It did.
instead of 1. Anyway, this was a more affordable model. It lacked a lot of the Series 2 features like built-in GPS and brighter display and water resistance and all that. It was only in an aluminum case, whereas the Series 2 had stainless steel and ceramic options. Anyway, Apple considers a product to be vintage once its 5 years have passed since it was distributed for sale. And that one was discontinued in September of 2018. That's crazy to think the fact that you could have bought a Series 1 as late as 2018. That does not seem like that long ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years. 5 year mark. So anyway, if it's vintage, it's no longer guaranteed to be eligible for repairs. And service is subject to parts that are available. So
have you ever brought in a device that was vintage to the Genius Bar?
No.
Oh, really?
I don't think I have.
Oh, yeah. I had one of a battery on a laptop go out. They're like, this is vintage, sir. I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, it's going to cost you a lot to fix it. So I'm like, okay. It's better to buy a new one.
I thought it was good. You were going to say, oh, yeah, you mean it's worth more now. It's vintage. Like an antique.
It's all right.
So, I didn't even know that word existed in the vernacular of how you time things. So obsolete made sense. Vintage, I would think same thing. Vintage means more expensive.
Right. So in technological terms, how old does something have to be considered like an antique?
Yeah.
For 5 years, I guess, right? Five or seven at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Kind of like how you feel if you're in a position at a tech company for that long.
Is that how they classify their employees? Vintage and obsolete?
About to go obsolete here.
If you're obsolete, you're getting the pink slip, right?
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Vintage, though. Yeah, that's funny. Tim Cook is vintage, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Been there forever. Okay, moving on. I just thought this was really cool. And by the way, there's not a lot of great news this week, so we're getting a lot of. We've already hit the highlights here. Okay,
That's right.
We're into patents already, and this is for the Apple Vision Pro. They've invented a virtual canvas and sketchbook app for artists to draw and or paint when using the Apple Vision Pro.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like Apple has created a version of Photoshop or Procreate for the Vision Pro. This is wild that you can draw, erase, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it was like a cool paint by numbers. It would make me a really good painter.
Yeah, that's it.
That would be a fun game. That would be a fun game.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah. So this is... So what it allows you to do is, and it's just so bizarre to read this, that it would allow you to paint or sketch in a virtual drawing on a virtual drawing surface using the electronic system device such as the Apple Vision Pro, where the environment provides a user with a realistic and immersive experience while creating the virtual drawing as if the user was creating a real drawing in the real world. Now, what isn't specifically stated here is you're not using like an actual physical thing in your hand, like a paintbrush.
Yeah.
You're just holding your hand out there. Is this finger painting? What is this?
It's well, like that, isn't it? It's weird. I think it's a kind of a neat patent.
Yeah.
But like in terms of actual usability, it's kind of odd. I mean, it gets into the sound, right? Yeah. Of the brushes and all that stuff. So I'm like,
yeah, they also mentioned that their sound of drawing on paper or painting, and it gets louder if you push harder or something. I don't know. This is weird.
It's weird. If there was a really canvas weird that you were looking at, then it would make sense because it's tactile. But like it's in the air, I would imagine.
You need to
and
feel.
Then, like, so it's, yeah, you need to feel. And then it needs to be three-dimensional. What it got me thinking about is when Microsoft released the HoloLens and they bought Minecraft, the point of it was to be able to make things and engineer things in 3D. Because you have that ability when you turn your head and you can see things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they're focusing on a 2D, drawing. It's kind of weird.
I don't know. How can you draw without feedback, pressure?
Correct. Correct.
And why in the world wouldn't you want the Apple Pencil number 4 or 5 version to work with this?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is strange.
Well, the pictures in the story patent had him holding something like a pencil, didn't it?
It looked like it. Is that a virtual pencil? They never make it clear.
And then you can erase with your thumb, and you got the palette. Yeah, that might be all virtual, Tom. It's all virtual, I bet.
Yeah,
because the palette would be virtual, and the pen would be virtual.
Drawing tool. 206 is drawing tool.
Yeah, in some embodiments, the magnitude of the audio feedback increases or decreases in accordance with increase or decrease respectively in the amount of force being applied to the drawing surface by the drawing tool within the environment. Does that mean the tool is within the environment? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a little far out there.
It is. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can look at this and see what we're talking about. But
just put this patent right next to the patent with all the patent bands.
Yeah, a good thing that they're doing it, but this is so oddly specific on things. It makes me wonder if they don't actually have a prototype of this working. Mm-hmm. You know, they're working on it. So,
I could totally see it happening. And
yeah,
I think that if you're an artist, we're not artists, so we don't use a canvas. Maybe they may be saying, hey, this is a great idea. I don't need the tactile and feel things. They just do it. But
no, I am an artist. I do draw, and this is weird. This is
okay.
Yeah,
I take that back.
Yeah, the Apple Pencil and Procreate is some of the best drawing technology I've ever seen, where you can do basically anything and amazingly well, but in a digital form. But to do it in the air, I don't know. I'd have to see it.
My stick figures would be a lot worse in the air, I can tell you that, than they would be on a canvas.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, okay. Moving on from patents. Let's go back here as we talked about it briefly at the top of the show. Let's talk about how Double Tap compares to quick actions and assistive touch, because this is a bit confusing when Apple came out with this, because there are currently two things on your Apple Watch before you get to the new version of the watch or the new version of the OS called quick actions and assistive touch. And they had released these as their accessibility features that allows for hand-free controls. These two things do get confused a lot. Both are accessibility features and are similar, but they're have two distinct features. So quick actions is basically a version of Double Tap, okay, where you can perform certain actions by double tapping your fingers together. Assistive touch does a lot more. It allows you to control every part of the Apple Watch. Okay. So that goes a bit deeper. Assistive touch can open an on-screen menu with options for the digital crown, the side button, the action button, scrolling, and more. But it also supports other gestures like a clench. You make a fist, okay? Or two. If you do those twice in a row, you'll get different things happening. Now, on the latest version here of the Apple Watch models and also in the OS, quick actions has been removed. It's gone. And now it's been replaced by double tap. Okay. So now you have the choice with the new watches and the new OS to use double tap or assistive touch. Quick actions is gone. As an example, quick actions will dismiss a notification when it comes in. Double tap will instead select the button on a notification, which isn't always dismiss. And I've tried it. I get a notification. I can't dismiss it with double tap. Doesn't work. You get the shaking button. So that's one thing that quick actions had over it. So anyway, it's changed quite a bit. So, even though they're similar, both often replicate tapping an app's primary button, right? So the main thing you see, like in the camera app, it takes a photo, and the stopwatch app starts the timer, and the music app, it controls playback. We talked about all that. The big differences here is that the new S9 chip that's in the new watches has made a huge difference in the performance and reliability of double tap compared to quick actions. Okay. It's recognized nearly every time without fail, unless you're running. Sorry, I had to put that in there. While quick actions sometimes went unattributed. So, what we think is going on is that Apple developed a way to detect a double tap of your fingers and brought it to the users as part of their accessibility feature set. But it was a little slow and limited by the chipset. So what Apple has done, since they have the upgraded S9 and the new neural engine, it's now good enough to market as a primary interaction method for the watch. It's more reliable. It's been tweaked for the average user and not as an accessibility feature. There's a little overlap here in what they do, but that is the real difference between them. So...
responsiveness,
and that's kind of what I thought when they first announced it, was that that's what this was. It's something that is now ready for everybody to use, and just like everything else, when it's ready for everybody to use, they dumbed it down a bit, right? It doesn't do everything that the assistive touch does. Now you can still turn on assistive touch and turn off double tap. And by the way, I tried it. If I try to turn on assistive touch, it tells me that double tap is on and it must be off before I can do that. And it gives me the option right there on the menu screen to turn it off, you know, without leaving the settings for assistive touch, which is nice.
Right.
And I tested assistive touch and it still doesn't work with your hand down by your side. So
interesting. Yeah. Even with photos.
Okay. I didn't test it with photos. I did test it with music. I did not have a chance to test it with photos yet.
Okay.
That's a good one. I will test that and see if I can take a picture. But so there's your differences. Okay. If you don't have the new watches, you have the older versions, you can still use assistive touch to get close to what you're doing. It's just not going to be as reliable or responsive. That's it. So,
yeah. That's a good description. Yeah. And I've had some problems with my quick action. I think when I went from the Ultra 1 to the Ultra 2, the quick action is kind of acting wonky. Maybe I need to restart the watch. But, because I'd accidentally turned that on about 3 weeks ago.
Well, the quick action is gone on the new one. It's not there. In the new
one. Okay.
All you have is
in the 10.1.
In 10.1, correct.
Okay. Yeah, because I think I have 10.02 or something, and it's still
there. Okay. Yeah.
So. With assistive touch with the camera app, it does allow you to take a picture with double tip. Double pinch is what they call it.
But not at your side or when
it's... At your side with your wrist down.
Oh, you do. Okay. So that is something they were very specific about, which leads me to believe in the future we're going to get more updates and more gestures to do more specific things. Hopefully they can figure some of those out.
And that's a specific action that you don't need to see on your watch. You're taking a picture at the, you know, on your side, double pinch, and it works. Some things you want to kind of see what's going on. So maybe they don't want you to have it at your wrist.
Well, okay, for me, when I'm running, changing the song, I don't need to see to change the song.
Well, sure. I mean, some things you can and some things you can't, but maybe they're just starting it. And I'll try the, of course, I just said my quick action seems to be wonky, but I'll try it when I'm working out today to see if it works when I'm working out. Because if the double pinch doesn't work when running, we'll see if the quick action does.
Yeah, that was going to be my next test tomorrow. I go for a run, was to use assistive touch and see if it works when I run.
Yeah, right.
I'm assuming it doesn't, but who knows?
Wow. I just realized I don't run. I don't have this problem.
Well, you have – I was going to ask with Tom's new watch, doesn't it want to make you go do some exercise?
I was just going to say, I was talking about my what I like this week. I have none of that.
You realize that that watch you have has logged more miles than you have.
That's exactly right. That's dead on right there.
That's funny. Okay. Moving on to this light week of news here. Since we're talking about all the new watches and new stuff, let's talk about next year's watches. Okay. It's not too early.
Yeah. Right? Why not?
Why not? 2024. Let's see. Analyst Ming-Chi Kuo is stating that he thinks the 2024 Apple Watch will unlikely have significant innovation. Okay, so he's saying that it will not be equipped with a new micro LED display or a blood glucose monitoring. He believes those features are at least 2 years away from being added to the Apple Watch. Now, it's unclear if his prediction rules out the launch of the Apple Watch 10 with next year. That's what Mark Gurman from Bloomberg said, that a significantly overhauled Apple Watch 10, think of it as like an anniversary edition, special edition, would launch in either 2024 or 2025 to mark the 10th anniversary. Because the original Apple Watch was announced in 2014, but it wasn't released until 2015. I'm thinking, since we're on 9, wouldn't 10 be the one you want to, next year, be the one you want to do? See?
I think so. You wouldn't have like 9A or something.
Yeah, the Series 0 screwed this whole thing up, didn't it? From being a perfect 10-10, right? Anyway, the Kuo's whole thing is kind of vague. He might be referring to the model that will succeed the Series 9 and that the Apple Watch 10 will be an additional high-end model that does offer new things, right? So there's that possibility, because Gurman had said that the Apple Watch 10 would have a thinner case, potentially a magnetic band attachment, and perhaps the micro LED will also be ready for that. I guess we'll have to wait and see what the supply chain and everything else says later in the year, next year, as time goes on, as to whether or not this will be the case. I'm very sad if the magnetic, what may happen is that magnetic band attachment may only be in the special high-end version of the watch. And yet your regular bands will still work with the new version of the watch, you know, 10 or whatever it's called.
Right.
It'd have to be optional. Cause like for the Ultra, you're on the side of a mountain. You don't want that thing to be held on by magnets. You know?
Yeah, exactly. My only way back to civilization and continuing to live is to navigate back with the Wayfinder on this watch that just fell off my wrist.
I thought about that too. That there's no significant innovation clearly means no band innovation, which means, because we were talking about that just a couple weeks ago, where you were worried, Tom, that you'd have to get all new bands. And
I'm telling you, I put the brakes on buying new bands.
Yeah, honestly, I have two.
A little concerned.
There's a few I want.
Yeah, I really want to. I'm saying that, not that I haven't put them in the cart and hovered over the buy button, but I've not done it for this reason, you know.
Yeah. But now you got a story saying no innovation. You got a story saying innovation. So we'll see that probably for a few months until one of them is right.
Yeah. And I guess it's the case of where I could, if this is what happens and they do change the ban mechanism, the entire library of bands can still be used with the older watches, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. But then you're talking what, a 5-year time frame before it becomes, vintage, mm-hmm. and 7 years before it becomes obsolete, right? So then it's no longer updated and all that. But
it would anyway. Be interesting to be in the room and see on the whiteboard the parking lot of features they want on the watch, because how much can you put on a device like this? And I know technology is going to keep getting better and better, so I don't mean that, meaning smaller and better battery. What can you put on the glucose monitoring? Great. Yeah. What else can you do, right? So I'd like to see the whiteboard that says camera. Here. Yeah, FaceTime camera. That's probably on the whiteboard, right, Vincent? Yeah, yeah. So what's on that whiteboard of bullet points that they want to put in the watch? And, you know, how much can you do? And how much can you – you know, we keep buying them. I keep buying these things every year, and I keep saying I'm not going to buy it. And I do.
Well, we're a little different.
We're a little different.
That's
what I was going to say. We're a little different, but it's not going to – the general public's not going to keep buying them.
No, the average person is probably every 2 to 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Same with the phone. It's on the same schedule as the phone, probably. Mm-hmm. Now, Ming-Chi Kuo also added that Apple Watch shipments are expected to decline to 36 to 38 million units in 2023, a decline of approximately 15% year over year. However, he said that Apple Watch integration with the Vision Pro headset will create an unparalleled and innovative health management experience that will boost shipments. I think more so than even that is if they did do a blood glucose monitoring, their sales would skyrocket of the Apple Watch.
Yeah, that'd be a game changer.
Yeah, that'd be a game changer, more than the Vision Pro.
Apple needs a new hardware device. All their hardware is well into the product life cycle.
Mature.
And
They're all mature. Yeah.
So they seriously need something. The Vision Pro hopefully will be something that'll change it up.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so yeah, again, rumor, who knows? But I think it's a little too early to put any stock into any of these rumors yet. I think when we get into the spring and summer, that's when those rumors start to have some validity to them. Mm. Okay, what else is going on here? We were talking about 17.1, the update that's coming up that gives you the features of the double tap that we've been talking about for the whole show. Apparently, some French authority has leaked a possible 17.1 launch date. I thought this was pretty funny. So they were having an issue with the iPhone 12 with its level of radiation output or something that is beyond what France's regulatory body says it should have. So Apple is saying they're going to fix that with a software update in 17.1, and they have shared on their website, this French governmental body or whatever it is, they have shared that it will become available by October 24th at the latest. So Apple has told them when, and they have somehow accidentally put that out on their website. So
someone's got to review that NDA.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's no NDA with the government, I can tell you that. So what somebody's got to be careful about what they tell them. I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Okay, we're recording this on Sunday. That 17.1... is not going to come out this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, which is the 24th. Just a wild guess here as to why. I don't know. Maybe Apple will do it early. Maybe they'll do it before then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's coming. I knew it was coming soon. So everybody can try out this double tap when this finally happens.
So my question on this whole thing and what caught me is this whole elevated RF radiation. So I'm like, okay, wait,
is it different? Yeah.
Is it different in France, or is it going to be across for everybody? Is this like a, specific? I didn't realize that different countries had different tolerance levels for how much radiation you're supposed to be able to get.
I'm sure.
Just like different states have, like California has different regulatory things. So Apple revealed that the slightly elevated RF radiation in the recent French test had to do with an off-body state allowing increased power in the test, while on-body performance was producing lower levels not measured in the test. So sounds like Apple has an issue with the way they were testing it, but just to make sure, they're going to change something in the update.
Wow. Yeah.
So to make their tests work, I guess, is what it would do.
Right, but, right. If it's something they can quickly do and modify that just takes it out of...
But 12?
That's 12, what I was thinking, too. That's
it's
what,
like, why bother? It's how many years old?
Five years ago? 4 years ago? Something like that. Well, I guess not. 3 years ago.
Well, I'm 14, so it's only a couple of years, but still.
We're in 15.
Do they still sell the 12? I guess they 15, do.
Yeah, 3 years.
Oh, yeah, they sell. Yeah.
Okay. Not for much longer. it's going to become vintage.
It's pre-vintage.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. What is that? It's got, what would you call that? I have no idea what that would be in the antique world. some sort of character, patina.
There you go.
It's got a good patina, but it's not vintage yet. Okay. let's see what else here. I thought this was interesting. Again, Mark Gurman of Bloomberg. His newsletter talks all about the comings and goings of different executives at Apple, which is normal. There's a lot of shifting of people coming and going, but one thing he had at the very end of this newsletter just caught my eye, and I'm like, what? This is crazy, but how cool is this? Apple is getting ready to use a system to load up the latest software on unopened iPhones. So when you buy a new phone from Apple, it comes with usually outdated software, right? By the time you receive it and it's been packaged and shipped, there's been an update. You know, in this more recent one, they updated to 17.0.1 to fix some bugs, and you had to immediately update your phone as soon as you took it out of the box, right?
Yeah, good idea.
Apple wants to fix this. They're saying they're planning a new system for its retail stores that will update the software on the iPhones prior to sale. They've developed a proprietary pad-like device. They can place the boxes on iPhones on top of it. The system can wirelessly turn on the phone, update its software, and power it back down, all without having to open the box at all.
That's kind of creepy.
They're gonna aim to roll this out before the end of the year. This is already happening. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's pretty awesome.
I love it, though. That's a very Apple-like thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, as long as it doesn't heat up. In the box, I guess. How much is that?
Yeah, well, that's true. How much heat can you generate doing that?
Yeah.
And I guess they're able to connect to the phone to monitor it to know if something goes wrong, right? Because you would hate to, what I would hope would not happen is that they go through this whole process and it says it's fine, but when I open the box and take the phone out, it's a brick, right? You would hope they would be able to test it too. I'm sure they have, but
it is. It's very interesting. It's a little creepy. Like I said, what else can they do when it's not on? and you know, I got the opposite problem. I sent my phone in for trade in, and I forgot to wipe it clean.
Oh,
so they sent me an email saying, hey, you need to go on, you know, iCloud and wipe it. I haven't done yet.
Do it quick.
Yeah. So I need to go do that.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought this was kind of wild.
It is.
I'm not, like, wireless, like, they're basically, I guess, the devices are connected to some sort of data over Wi-Fi or something like that at the factory. And so they're able to actually get that. But you can't, unless I'm missing something, you can't transfer data through NFC that way.
How does this work? Because they're doing it in the retail store. So if I buy it online and it's shipped to me, it will not have gone through this process, or will it? Who knows? You know, is the pallet that they ship them on is a giant pad device that updates the software in transit?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how far can you take this? Wave a magic wand over it. Yeah. How far can you take this? It's crazy. Anyway, I thought that was cool. Speaking of iPhones in their box, our final story here, I think, we have another auction coming up with vintage Apple gear. I would say more like obsolete Apple gear, which includes an 8 gigabyte original iPhone still in its shipping box from FedEx.
Wow.
That is crazy. So this is a company called LCG. They're having their fall premiere auction. This is in Baton Rouge, is where they're based, I guess. Here are the following items they have for sale or for auction. A 2007 4 gigabyte iPhone with original Apple Store receipt. Okay. 2007 8 gigabyte iPhone still sealed in the FedEx box that we just talked about.
You hope it's in there.
And here's the one I want. A factory sealed first gen 5 gigabyte Apple iPod. That would be nice. They have a 2007 8 gigabyte iPhone with iTunes. What does that mean with iTunes? What? I don't get that. And a 2008 iPhone in its original shipping box, factory sealed, 2008 iPhone 3G and a 2009 iPhone 3GS, all still factory sealed. Also, there is someone has given up their Apple 20-year employee award, which is a special award. It's crafted out of the same recycled aluminum that goes into the Mac Mini and the MacBook Air. It's in its original packaging and includes a card from Apple CEO Tim Cook. Wow. Okay, so that's going up for auction as well. As we mentioned in previous shows, factory-sealed iPhones have gone for as high as $63,000. So, and then in reading this further on, is that apparently they do have to open the box, the shipping box, not the actual box, to make sure it's the right item inside.
I figured they'd do the X-ray thing.
That's what I thought. But apparently not.
No, you'd have to open it. I guess you could do X-ray, but really to validate it and absolutely make sure you're paying $75,000 for something, they're going to want you to.
Yeah, they're saying they've been instructed to carefully open the box. We will open the package and remove the phone for the very first time. The phone is presumed to be factory sealed in pristine condition. So not sealed.
Or you're going to get a vintage FedEx box.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I want the iPod though. I think that would be so cool. The very first one, because I had the very first one. I don't even know where it went or if I still have it somewhere, but how cool would that be to have that unopened?
The cool thing about the original iPod is, one, it's the original iPod, but it was really the product that launched the products.
Yeah.
So you got you got the launch pad right there.
Yep. Yeah, it was way cool. Mm-hmm. And even though it had a actual spinning hard drive in it, a physical spinning hard drive, I still ran with it in my hand and tried not to run too hard or it would skip.
Oh, but, yeah. I remember all that.
Yeah.
Certainly. Like the iPod claw.
Yes. So anyway, if you're interested, go ahead.
I say the ticking sound. Remember that? I mean, that would just changed everything. Just
when as you turn the wheel.
Yeah, that was just so cool.
Yep. So if you're interested in this auction, I'll put a link in the show notes there for it.
Gosh, yeah, I'd like to interview one of y'all if you're actually going after this auction.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah.
My Amex doesn't have the kind of limit.
All right, we'll get to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. So if you become a patron of the Apple Watchcast for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. Check out our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right, what we like this week. Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
All right. So obviously, I mean, it's been a while. I missed the last show, but the what I like this week is the Ultra Okay. All right. Great. I mean, we picked it up. We met, and I, you know, just getting into the wear, daily wear of it, wasn't able to get that much time with it in the last couple of weeks, considering. But overall, I mean, it's been, it's an interesting change in terms of just the overall sturdiness and weight that you have to get used to.
Yes.
And it, I'm okay with banging it around. I don't feel like I'm babying it, just, you know, considering that this the screen is flat, which is what I really like. I mean, it's protected on all the sides. And, you know, it's just a different type of partner, I would say, you know, beside you as an assistant. It's just there, and you're not, you don't have to really worry about breaking it. I don't like the crown. It's kind of weird. I had to flip my normally I orient it with the on the bottom left.
That's
so
right.
So flipped it back over to the top right so that I can actually you know, turn the crown with my index finger instead of my thumb like I usually do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then like when you press down on it, it's like it's kind of sharp. I mean, it'll rub against your wrist in terms of like turning the crown, and then it'll kind of cut into it, which is kind of weird. Maybe it's just the way my wrist is shaped, but like it's a it's an interesting thing with the crown. Overall, though, I mean, in terms of the experience, it's fast. It's a lot faster than the 8 that I had. It's brighter. I have not, like I said, Chris, I haven't climbed any mountains or gone diving or even running for all that matters. I haven't used the siren, which is apparently a thing, but I have used like the walkie-talkie and stuff like that. Set up the action button. The walkie-talkie is nice and loud. It's actually pretty crisp and clear.
Oh wait, so you have the action button set to walkie-talkie?
I don't. I set my action button for shortcuts, which is what actually
okay.
Tips I'm going to share. But yeah, nice. To do that. But right now, but the first thing I did was actually try to put on some bands that I had, and none of the third-party bands that I have actually fit it well. Only the
we talked about that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they just don't slide in there, especially the ones that we got from our friends. I forgot a long time ago what they're called, but like some of the leather ones that we have. So I picked up a new band. It's a Spigen band that I got from Amazon for like $19. I've been wearing that for a couple of weeks. It's pretty nice. It's kind of like a solo loop, but it like I would call it the suspender of watch bands, because it's got like that kind of a suspender buckle, and you can adjust the width. That it's made out of practically the same nylon material.
Comes
in four different colors, but like you can change and adjust the width, the size of it,
and then it
stretches, and you put your wrist in there. It's actually pretty great. It's in terms of just the overall like the elasticity, the amount of breathability. It comes in four different colors, and then like the actual buckle itself fits really well in the Ultra instead of like the other ones that you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can share a link with that as well. But it's pretty neat.
Great, I like a lot. Great, mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. There you go.
the Ultra Club. all right, Chris. What do you like this week?
Well, I think I might have mentioned to you guys really quick a couple of shows ago before we started that I was looking at switching jobs, and I took the plunge. So I switched jobs.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Not to go into a lot of detail, but you know, I was, you know, in the deep corporate world for a long time. And then I kind of backed off a little bit and kind of worked for a smaller company, and it was a nice job. And it was funny. I was sitting on the beach this summer, and I kind of ignore all the recruiting emails you get, like on LinkedIn and stuff. And this one caught my mind because it had a division up in Cleveland, Ohio, where I grew up. And I could just see that on the notification on my phone on the beach. I'm like, let me click this one. All right. Bad idea. Right. So I clicked that. I said, sure, I'm interested. And 10 minutes later, the recruiter called me. I'm still sitting on the beach. You know, the waves are crashing. She's telling me about this job. I'm like, oh, man, this sounds intense. But then it sounded a little more fun. So I hung up the phone, spent the week, you know, at the beach thinking about it. And one thing led to another. And 6 weeks later, I started. So I'm back in the deep corporate world again, which I said I wasn't going to do. But it's exciting. It's a small, very small company. And I get to drive a lot of change quickly and it's exciting. So I'm really excited. I get to go back to Cleveland, Ohio now a lot. I've already visited a lot of relatives up there, you know, on the company's dime, not my dime. And I'm looking forward to it. So that's what I like this week.
Nice. Biggest question, are they Mac or PC?
They're PC, Tom, so I had to go back to a PC. Yes.
That would have killed the deal for me.
I joked with the CEO. I'm like, man, do you have Macs? He goes, man, we're so small. We can't support both platforms. I'm like, yeah, fair point. So I got the PC, and, you know, I've already screwed things up a couple of times using Microsoft Outlook. See, I've sent meeting notices to the wrong place, the wrong way. I'm like, oh, this is hard.
Support both. You don't have to support the Mac one.
It's just a lot easier.
Takes care of itself. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. I know.
That's funny.
But no, so I'm using a PC, and you know, I don't have my small business anymore, so I don't need my iPad to really run that. So I just I just do you know, everything on my phone. You can use OneNote. The OneNote app will go across all the platforms, and that's what I use now. And it's a little more clunky, but it works.
It's a lot easier now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Well, that's good. Great. Good news.
Congrats, Chris.
Thank you.
So the other than Double Tap, the other thing I like this week is a device from a company called Rolling Square, which I've reviewed other items from them in the past. They make some pretty cool gadgets. This one is called AirCard, AirCard. So this is basically a version of Apple's AirTag, but in the form of a card. So it's about the same size as a credit card, and it's designed to use where an AirTag would be inconvenient, like in your wallet or any place else that it's just too thick. And, you know, unless you want a big bump in your wallet, you know, then an AirTag is not going to work very well. But this just slides in like any other credit card. It's black. It has some see-through areas where you can see the circuit board, which is pretty nice, very high-tech design. You set it up just like an AirTag. You press and hold the power button on it, and it appears in your Find My app on your phone. You give it a name, just like setting up an AirTag. Once you're done, it works exactly the same. So you can make it play a sound. You can find it with your phone or even your Apple Watch. You can have it notify you when it's left behind. You can put it in lost mode, etc. All the same features of an AirTag. It's basically, like I said, an AirTag just in a different shape and form, which is pretty cool. It also has an NFC tag to share your digital identity easily through a service called ShareIt, ShareIt. So you set that up, and then you can, share your information with an NFC tag with someone else, or you can share it through a QR code that's on the front of the card. There's a couple of ways to do that. The company is in Switzerland, and I've been very impressed with all of their devices I've gotten over the years. And I've never, they never pay me or send me anything. I just love their stuff. Okay. This is something I bought. it wasn't that they sent it to me and I review it for that reason. But I'll put a link in the show notes for it. I actually got it on a pre-sale, through Kickstarter. They had a little deal going on on Kickstarter. It's $39. And they also offer a, it's like a pouch that you can slide this air card into, and then you can Velcro it to anything you want to track. They also sell a magnetic closure, a notebook with a magnetic closure, that has a slot for the air card as well. So that's kind of an interesting little device there. Anyway, all this stuff's very well done, very well designed, and I love to see companies taking advantage of Apple's technology and finding more interesting ways to use it, which is what this definitely does. So check it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I have the Ridge wallet, and I've been using an AirTag, and it's ridiculous. So I need something like this.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes for it, but you can go to rollingsquare.com. And go right. They have a couple of different categories. One is tracking, and you'll see what it looks like there. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
And they take Apple Pay, so it makes it even a lot easier.
They do. They do take Apple Pay. I just like their stuff. It's really cool. They also made those Kinect, those things that you magnetically put on the back of your laptop to hang your phone next to it for another screen, mm-hmm. or your laptop. Mm-hmm. Those things are really cool too. They make those. All right. Anything else before we keep changing our watch face, but still keep going back to the new modular Ultra Face because it looks so good. No, am I the only one that does that? Okay.
It's me, that and Snoopy.
That and Snoopy, yes. Snoopy's for a different vibe. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out again at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website, which is applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email, comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.